get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest for the 6 o'clock hour, Jared Lloyd from the Daily Herald. How the heck are you, Jared?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Marvelous.
Hey, boss.
We're stupendous. Darnell Dixon is alongside me here. He wants to get as many questions out to you as possible. He's gonna be drilling you this entire segment. First off, Jared, you were down at the scrimmage on Friday. Spring football's done, but did you like what you saw on the field?
I did. I mean, particularly on Friday, you didn't expect to see a whole lot. I mean, it was a lot for the younger guys to, you know, try and get one more chance to catch an eye before the end of spring. There wasn't a whole lot of the main guys that were going to be out there. Just not worth it. There wasn't any value at that point for a lot of the main players, so a lot of them were held out. And they said afterwards, hey, we'd rather play. I mean, these are football players. They'd rather be out there playing, even if it's in the best interest of the team. They'd rather be out there playing. So, you know, it was good to see what they did. They didn't, I don't think they wowed me in any form as far as what they were able to do on the field, but kind of reconfirmed a lot of things that I noticed throughout spring. And, you know, it was a fun way to wrap up with all the alumni there.
Yeah, you didn't learn anything new. You didn't see anything that stood out to you. You said, oh, man, this could be an up-and-coming player that I need to watch out for, maybe do a story on.
Besides Christian Stewart, I mean, because we haven't done anything on him, right, the whole time that he's been at BYU.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that there's some young talent out there that, I think could be very good. I liked what I saw, from a transfer, from Kamel Green. I thought he came out and made some nice plays for the secondary there. You know, I thought there was some nice things that he did. That's one of the areas I've been watching a lot because of, they need that secondary to be a lot better. And you and I have talked about it last week, man. You know, they just need those guys to step up and be able to make plays. And so I've been watching who's there and, guys like, watching Grant Jones out there have a pass thrown basically right to him. I think it hit him in the shoulder pad or something, popped straight up in the air, and he's whirling around trying to find it, and it fell to the turf, couldn't get the pick. But, they need guys that are going to be out there making plays and making things happen. And I guess that counts as a pass breakup, even if it doesn't count as an interception. But I'm sure he was kicking himself, wishing he'd be able to bring the ball down.
Jared, you wrote that story about Christian just when it came out in Monday's paper. And certainly most of the BYU people you quoted were pretty ecstatic about how that all worked out. Ben and I had a point-counterpoint sort of discussion on that early in the broadcast today. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, I kind of feel like based on what they had to work with, it was a really inventive solution and probably benefited them more than it hurt. Ben thinks it's going to hurt them down the road. What do you think?
Well, I don't know how it can hurt them really very much, in my opinion, because what else were you going to do? I mean, were you going to just rely on Hunter Moore? And watching him in spring, it's very clear why they didn't rely on him completely, because he's still developing. I mean, he's still got a ways to go. I like the kid. I think he's athletic, but, he's not a polished quarterback. So where do you go after Hunter Moore? I mean, do you bring in one of the other offensive players? Do you try and get Kyle Van Noy to come back and run some quarterback? Do you, turn to Jason Beck? This is what I said. Maybe that you turn to Jason Beck, the quarterback's coach, and see if he can still sling it around. But you don't have a lot of options at that point. So in order to get better, I think you absolutely had to have, I think having a talented, experienced quarterback, who knows what he's doing back there, is going to help the team out. I don't really see very much where it would hurt them, other than the fact that maybe it exposes the fact that they're not very deep if Taysom Hill goes down. But I don't think that's exactly a surprise to anybody because, McCoy Hill, Hunter Moore, none of these guys have seen a lot of reps either in practice or in games. So I think that was already pretty clear. You hope that Tanner Mangum and Bo Hodge and these guys can come in and be good in fall, but they're going to have to show something, and they weren't going to be able to do it in spring anyway. So yeah, I really agree with what Mendenhall said as far as, the value of having an experienced leader back there, a quarterback for the team sessions. I really think he helped out just about every, in just about every aspect of, other than special teams. I think he helped every other part of the football team get better.
Do you think it's embarrassing for a team like BYU to have to resort to something like that in order to field an effective spring?
Well, maybe a little bit, but, I mean, you can't gauge that McCoy Hill is going to go down with an injury. And, you know, they originally had Ammon Olson and Billy Green that would have been slotted into some of these spots. And those guys decided to move on. And, you know, there was thoughts that maybe Trent Hosek would come join the team. I don't know if he would have joined for spring, but there was thoughts that he would come in. And, you know, he decided to go a different direction. I don't blame any of those guys. You know, they needed to go find, you know, a really good opportunity. And they knew that as long as Taysom was, you know, here, that he was probably going to be the A1, you know, the guy at the top, and they weren't going to dethrone him. And so, you know, they needed him to get hurt, and that's always, you know, do I go try and play someplace where they need me, or do I, you know, sit around and wait and see if Taysom might get hurt? You know, so I don't blame them for being that way, but you look at the number of guys they could have had back there, you know, you're looking at, you know, the possibility of, you know, three, maybe four other quarterbacks that, you know, you looked at it a year ago, and they thought maybe they'd have some of those guys. Not Ammon. Ammon was already gone at that point, but, you know, some of those other guys, they thought they might be around. So I guess it's kind of that way, but when you've got a really good quarterback in this day and age with all the other options that kids have, I guess it's not really surprising how it kind of played out.
Jared R. Lloyd from the Daily Herald on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Jared, we also touched on some recruiting. Troy Warner, the little brother of Fred Warner, commits to the University of Oregon. How big of a blow is this to BYU recruiting and its momentum when you can't confirm and get that commitment from a brother that's already within the program?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, would it have been nice for them to get Troy Warner? Sure. But, you know, brothers often go to different schools, different places. I mean, they don't always end up at the same spot. And, you know, sibling relations can be an interesting, you know, it can be an asset, and it can be, you know, hey, I'd rather go someplace where my brother isn't, you know, and not follow in his shoes or different things like that. I think that would have been great for BYU to have him come, because I think he's a great athlete. I think he's got a potential to be really good at the collegiate level, and that would have been nice. But I don't know if it really hurts BYU necessarily in that sense, in my opinion. I wish the kid luck. I hope he goes and has a really successful career. And, you know, every kid has to make the decision where they think they're going to be best. And, you know, that's what I think he did. And, BYU's got to go find other guys. You know, that's the nature of recruiting. There's a deep pool out there. There's a lot of people to go after. And so you find somebody else to step in and hopefully, you know, able to step up and make plays. So recruiting is such a, you know, you and I've talked about it before, Ben. It's such a crapshoot anyway. You just don't know what's going to roll, you know, how the dice are going to roll for you. And so, you know, this could be a great get for Oregon and, you know, a big loss for BYU, or it could end up being somebody who doesn't end up doing much there. You just never know.
Jared, we were talking about the receivers earlier, and that's been kind of one of the stories of spring football, is that the receivers are playing really well. How do you think that manifests itself next year in a way that wasn't apparent last year? Because it seemed to me receivers actually played pretty well last year. How do you think that's going to change how the offense works or how effective they're going to be?
That's a big question. And, you know, I'm of the opinion to not get too high on the receivers and not get too low on the secondary at this point, you know, being how early it is. But I think that, you know, the hope is that these guys are going to be more precise on how they run their routes, how they find the windows and get in there for Taysom Hill to be able to deliver the ball. And, you know, that's something Mitch Matthews talked about, of, you know, picking up some of the techniques and making sure that he understood precisely where he needed to be to give, you know, the quarterback, Taysom, you know, is the guy, of course, there, you know, to give the quarterback, you know, the best chance to get in the ball and make plays. And that's the thing right there, is whether these guys can make those plays consistently enough that Taysom Hill relies on them enough to not have to rely on his own athleticism. And that's where I think that this group could take a big step forward. And, you know, you look at, you know, Nick Kurtz, who could have been a really valuable asset last year. Mitch Matthews and Taysom have known each other for a long time now, so they're really comfortable together. Devon Blackman, I really felt like, took a big step forward. I think he's going to be a really valuable asset in the fall. You know, you look at Mitch Juergens, and he just keeps getting better. And, you know, he's a really reliable guy, and get him the ball. And you've got other guys, you know, that I think they look to. And Taron Houck, you know, as the flex tight end. You look at Colby Pearson, Kerr Henderson, some of these guys. They got, you know, they've got a bunch of guys that have shown flashes that they could be really good. but they need to be able to take that and make things happen. They need to get open consistently. They need to run their routes precisely so that Taysom knows where to put the ball. You can't have drops. There were a couple of drops last Friday that, you know, granted, I think one of them was one of the Bash brothers, either Steven Richards or Tanner Baldry, and those guys have been playing defense, so they haven't been working on the hands probably as much. But, you know, you just can't, you know, you got to have guys that you can rely on that when the ball comes to them, if it's within reach, they're going to pull it in. And we've seen that from Mitch Matthews. I think we've seen that more from Devon Blackman. You know, I think that I think that Mitch Juergens has shown that in the past as well. Nick Kurtz has shown that. That type of thing, I think, is big for the offense.
And to add to that with the running backs, if Jamal Williams is healthy, I think obviously that's a very good thing for the offense. But it seems like last year to me, when they needed yards, because of kind of the up and down nature of the running backs, some were injured and not consistent, that they would turn to Taysom to get those tough yards for him. And that just puts him at more risk. And then we've also talked about how one of the reasons why he's so good is because he creates that mismatch with the defense that was wondering whether he's going to run it or pass it. But I think it's critical to BYU this year that they can get tough yards with their running backs when they need them against these good teams to save wear and tear on Taysom. So where are the running backs now? I mean, I think they're still kind of up in the air depending on if Jamal comes back healthy.
Well, Jamal's the A1 guy. He's on a different level than any of the other guys I've seen there. I like what the other guys can do. I think Algie Brown's taken a nice step forward and done some nice things. I think Ai Ho-Ching could be the real physical fullback type guy that BYU might be able to get to turn out some of those yards. But, you know, a lot of that responsibility, I mean, we put a lot of it on the running backs, but the offensive line has to be better. You know, I mean, if you're trying to get 3 yards, you got to know that the defense is going to stack the box and try and prevent you from doing it running the ball. And so that was one of the things that the offensive line didn't consistently give, you know, the running backs the type of holes they needed to get those 3 yards. You got to get a push. You know, you got to give that guy, you know, your running back at least a yard and a crease to try and go after it to get those 3 yards. And if what we've seen in spring from the O-line continues to develop in the fall, particularly from the starters, then there's a good sign there that, you know, they'll be able to get the push that they need, open up a little crease for Jamal. You know, Jamal's the type of guy that can turn a crease into a 10-yard gain really, really fast. Algie's more the type that'll turn a crease into a 4-yard gain and run over 2 people to do it. You know, that type of thing. And so, you know, but they've got to have that crease. You got 3 defenders on you and 1 lineman blocking. You're probably not going to go very far unless maybe you're Barry Sanders, and there's not very many of those around. So, you know, that's kind of what I see as far as those running backs go. They also need to be in the passing game. We've talked a lot about the receivers, but they need to be consistent catching the ball out of the backfield, because that can be a really dynamic weapon in BYU's arsenal if they can be relied on.
Jared, let's talk the Varsity Cup National Rugby Championship. What do you think of the path that BYU has before them? They face UCLA next in the quarterfinal, and then a semifinal match. It looks like, I don't know if Utah and Oklahoma have played, or Central Washington and Arizona State have played, but who do you foresee BYU facing in the semifinal match if they're able to get by UCLA?
Well, here's the real question there is, does it matter? I mean, that's, and I don't mean to belittle these other teams. I think they've got some really good rugby players. I watched BYU play Utah, and there were a couple of guys for Utah that I was really impressed with. But BYU is so deep, so talented, so well coached. They know what they want to do out there. You know, the first round match, if UCLA is able to stay within 50, that's a moral victory for UCLA. I mean, now, Coach Smith did point out to me, Ben, that, you know, UCLA did give Cal just about everything they wanted. And Cal's, you know, arguably the second best rugby program right now, since BYU's defeated them the last few times. But, you know, they gave everything they wanted. So if they come out and play really well, maybe I'll be surprised there. But I just think BYU is too explosive and too good across the board. I think they'll handle that one. And however, you know, the other one plays out, you know, BYU is going to be hosting. They're very good on Southfield. They know what they know how to play this game really, really well. And so I don't really know, you know, I'm not sure who they're going to face, but in my mind, I don't think it really matters. I think the next chance for them to really face the tough test will be in the championship, you know, because Cal Cal's also a really good team. They're really well coached. They may not have played their best, but BYU had some tough, you know, some tough matches against St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a really good team too. You know, it's good for these teams to be tested, but that's what I hope to see. I hope to see another BYU-Cal match in the final. Those are some of the funnest rugby matches you'll ever see because they're just, you know, they're two good teams battling hard. You know, they've got size, they've got speed, they've got physicality. They're, you know, no intimidation. They're going to go after each other, and it's so much fun. So when the championship rolls around, that's really what I'm looking forward to.
I told Ben you were the rugby guy, Jared, so we knew you'd have the whole scoop on what was happening there.
You know, in the last 3 years, I picked up so much about rugby, and I'd love to see it continue to grow because it is such a dynamic sport, and there's so many advantages. Once you start picking up some of the nuances of it, it's, you know, there's a lot of similarities to football, but it's a lot more free-flowing, and, you know, it's just a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed getting to know that particular sport, you know, and the people are so much fun to be around. They're those type of guys that go out and give everything on the field and then, you know, throw their arm, you know, they all get together to, you know, sing a fight song or, you know, celebrate together, and, you know, it's just a really fun event. I really enjoyed it.
Jared, we got to let you go, brother. Thanks so much for joining us on ESPN 960. We look forward to doing it again, and you took it well. You know, he drilled you pretty good.
Well, he's got to take advantage of it while he can, you know. So
we look forward to doing it again soon. Thanks, Jared.
See you, Jared.
Hey, take care, guys.
There you have it. Jared R. Lloyd from the Daily Herald.